Welcome to episode 50. I feel like there should be like sparklers and fireworks and confetti and balloons, but there's not. Funny enough, though, I actually didn't realize this was episode 50 until I was recording the intro of episode 49, where I realized, oh my goodness, it's about to be episode 50. So how amazing is it that episode 50 is such a great representation of the reality of this podcast? I'll jump into that in a second. But, you know, this person literally is, wait for it, the GOAT. The GOAT. Some of you are thinking greatest of all time. I'm going to reference what that is in the podcast. You'll listen to it. Feel free to shoot me a DM and tell me if that intro was just ridiculously corny in that reference. But either way, it was a really, really organic conversation. This is an individual that listened to the podcast a long time, which I didn't even know, and just reached out and sent some encouraging words just to say, hey, listening to the podcast, love it, and continue grinding. And, you know, the conversation sparked some other conversations. And I was like, listen, why don't we record and kind of talk through some of this stuff? So it's an absolutely awesome episode. If you are following me on social media or anywhere else and you want to jump on the podcast, you want to share your journey and your story, feel free to shoot me a message. I speak to and respond to absolutely everyone that messages me. So message me. Let's jump into the episode. Hope you guys enjoy. And again, if it resonates, like, share, subscribe, rate 5 stars, and thank you. You guys are rock stars. I appreciate you.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Good afternoon, Cody. What's up, bro?
Not much, man. Just hanging out. How's it going for you?
It's going well. I always laugh at myself when, you know, every guest I ever have on, we're talking for a couple of minutes, you know, working through technical difficulties, chatting about life, kind of getting a feel and a vibe for the flow of the conversation before I hit record. So then when it's like, hey, good afternoon, guest, I haven't talked to you prior to now, I just chuckle because it's like, I know that's the intro. Like, it's supposed to have people like come into the conversation smoothly, but I feel bad. One of these days I'm going to record an episode where I just start from the very beginning and all the nonsense that gets said prior is just out there and part of the episode.
That would be awesome. Real organic. Get the real feel of everything.
Yeah, super organic. And people either love it or they'll hate it. But, you know, whatever. Such is life. I'm good, bro. It's been a terrific Tuesday thus far. I don't think it's been too crazy, too hectic. We had a couple glitches starting, but life is good, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, man. Things are going good. Woke up, tackled some things around the house, and stoked to be on here with you now.
Man, I appreciate that. What's the state of affairs where you currently reside? I know we talked a little bit about it. You're in Titusville, Florida, right? How are things in that state with Corona and all the good stuff surrounding that?
Yeah, so pretty much everything's basically open. People don't really care about it too much around here. A lot of the older people are still freaking out, and they just like recently reshut down the bars, or they said that you can't drink at the bars, which basically,
what does that mean? Take the alcohol home?
yeah. If the bars are staying open, I guess you can show up and socialize, but you can't drink there. So, but it doesn't matter. I don't drink anyways.
That's a good look. I'm sitting here thinking, well, so what does that mean? Take a shot to go? Like, how do you, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, should those places are really, I'm a business owner. So for the business owners listening that are going to get upset with my following statement, just, I get it. But should bars really be upset? Like, it's not an essential place. Like, this is not, yeah, we've got to have a place to go get drunk. No. I mean, is that really ever a necessity? Ever?
Like, yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. It's cool. It exists, but that's just not one of those things that I felt should have been put on the block to hurry up to open. I feel like maybe some grants or government stuff could have been done to help. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because this podcast isn't about politics. So let's talk a little bit about you, man. Where are you from? Are you born and raised in Florida your whole life?
Yeah, see, I was born in Daytona Beach, so about like an hour and a half north. But I spent a lot of like my early childhood, like moving all across the U.S. with my family.
Okay, okay. Did you guys just like RV in it or?
No, I come from like really humble background.
Nice.
We were very poor, homeless at several instances in my life. So we just traveled around to wherever the next opportunity or the next shelter that would take us was.
Very and cool. That's deep.
Through that, I just came back in middle school. I came back to Florida and I've kind of hopped around since then.
Man, okay, so where's the most fascinating place you've been?
Fascinating? I don't know. See, I really liked Texas a lot. I lived in two different places in Texas. I lived in Houston, and then I lived in Humble, which is a...
Humble, Texas, like, yep. Yeah.
But I liked both of those. South Carolina was cool, but it was very segregated still, surprisingly.
No, yeah, not surprised. I mean, I'm in North Carolina now, not surprisingly. It's funny to me, having lived in Florida for so long, you would consider Florida the Deep South. And I mean, it is the Deep South in certain aspects. It's the first place I ever saw a burning cross, which I don't understand why this late in life people can still see that. But regardless, it blows my mind that Florida would be considered the Deep South, but the racial tensions that are like North and South Carolina and Georgia and different parts are just, they're so much higher, which I just find weird. Sure. I feel all of it weird, but let's go past that. The thing that I think blows my mind is as you're saying all that stuff, I'm thinking about my life now. And you said you had humble beginnings and someone's listening to this podcast, probably like, oh man, that's so unfortunate. I'm like, man, you know, like it hit them right in their feelings. And I'm sitting here listening to you thinking, man, that's awesome. Like that is so, so cool and so fascinating because I think that, I don't know, so many people in their life float by and they don't experience, I don't want to even say hardship, but they don't experience the opportunity that comes from having challenges and then overcoming those challenges, because that in itself is an adventure of growth that you really can't have without them. I just think it builds so much character into individuals. And that, I don't know, I just don't see it that way. I see it as, man, that's fascinating. I don't wish hardship on anyone, but I do think that, you know, given the right perspective, it adds depth to an individual that they otherwise wouldn't have. So.
Yeah, man, I definitely feel the exact same way. I would never change any of the things that happened to me growing up because it shaped who I am now. And I'm as a father, like my son's four, I've struggled to figure out how I can build the same kind of character in him without like trying to prevent him from dealing with any of the hardships that I went through.
You're not like, hey, you could eat right now, but I want you to feel hunger. But like, I want that character, bro, and I want my kid to eat. I mean, I totally get that. So, I can't even, I don't have any children, so I'm sitting here trying to even imagine like what that looks like or how that would look. Man, so how do you approach that? What do you do?
I get the advantage of I homeschool them. I have them like 100% of the time, basically. So okay. I can take them out and I can teach them really about like the real world. Like we do plenty of book work, but I also try and focus a lot on like the unschooling side of things.
Absolutely.
So like learn from like nature, and I don't hold back at all with him. Like if he asks a question, I tell him exactly how things are. And I describe to him how he's lucky compared to a lot of people in life. So I feel like I'm, even though he's four, I'm still like instilling the right ideals still.
Man, I love that. That's great. Okay, so as you're saying all this stuff, I'm listening to you and my mind is racing a little bit. I'm thinking about how lucky I am to get on podcasts and talk with people that have similar mindsets and outlooks and philosophies. And I don't know, man. I feel... this sounds so silly. The daily calm is, I meditate every day, but today's daily calm is about gratitude. And so I think it's funny. It's hitting me right now. Like, I just feel really like happy and thankful to get on here and like do life with people and hear about others that have similar mindsets. Because, you know, sometimes you're on that island, you feel like you're crazy. And then you get on and you start talking to people and you're like, no, you're not, like, you're not insane. There's just, you know, we're a rare breed, but we're out here. So as I say all that, I just want to kind of dive into this. How long have you been keto?
I think a little over three and a half years, something like that.
Why did you get into it?
Well, really, I used to be an athlete. I've got a background in competitive surfing and competitive jujitsu.
Okay.
And whenever my son was born, I kind of had to stop doing all that. And I just gained a ton of weight from just having a shit diet.
Yeah. No, that goes.
Garbage. Snack cake boxes, McDonald's, all that junk. And I just got really fat. Like, I'm a small person. I'm like 5'5", 5'6", and I weighed like 200 pounds. So that's a lot on such a little frame. And I found myself just like struggling mentally because I knew the shape that I used to be in. So I was getting depressed and anxious about the way I looked and the things that I felt that I wasn't able to do anymore. My joints were hurting. I moved to a two-story house and I didn't want to go up and down the stairs. So I was kind of just like locked on the couch, watching TV, just really just giving into a lot of the depression that I felt and not doing anything about it. So, then I just started listening to a podcast, really. Like, it started with, like, the Joe Rogan podcast.
Joe Rogan. Yeah. Shout out to Joe Rogan. We'd love to get on your show.
Definitely. And they started talking about intermittent fasting was, like, the first thing that I heard. And so I just started doing some research on that. And along with intermittent fasting, they were talking about how terrible gluten and shit was. So I was like, I think I can do that. So I cut out gluten and started fasting every day. And I kept listening to the podcast. And more they were talking about keto. Keto this, keto that, ketosis. I was like, what the hell does this word even mean? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like this foreign tongue.
Yeah, it seemed like over in California, they were like, years ahead of what I knew about already. So I just started looking at that and realized that most people who do keto fasting is a good way to get into ketosis. All you have to do is limit like more sugars and shit like that. So I was like, I'm halfway there. So yeah. I'll start doing that.
Okay.
And
okay.
Here I am still doing it.
Man, all right. So the reason I even went down this rabbit hole with you was because I'm always interested in, you know, how are the type of people that have the mindset that are keto for, I mean, years, right? Like, there's, man, I can't tell you, I have hundreds of clients that I've helped that have been keto for like a month or 3 months or 4 months. Even some that like 7 or 8 and then drop off. But, you know, anyone that's been keto for over a year and a half, I have found, has completely either changed their mindset all the way around or has been progressively allowing their mind to adapt and grow. So, you know, the fact that, again, I get the blessing to get on here and talk to different people from different backgrounds that all have a similar mindset is awesome. But, you know, how did you get there? Like, how did your mindset get to this? Okay, I'll try this. I mean, Joe Rogan's amazing and all. His podcast is great. He's very entertaining. But like, there's a part of you that had to listen to what they were discussing and then say, I want to embrace or figure this out and go through that. Like, have you always been that way as far as like curious and inquisitive? Or, you know, were you just looking at your son, looking at yourself hurting, thinking, I don't look like one of the Beach Boys anymore. I look like a beach ball. How do I change this?
Yeah, man. So it was definitely, I've always been really into knowledge. Like, I did really well in school and college, and I taught school for a couple of years.
Okay.
So I've always been the kind of guy that likes to dive into books and stuff, but that really came after I had adapted into keto. What really pushed me into like trying out the lifestyle was just the fact that I was hating myself. Like I said, I was like super depressed, as terrible as it is. Like, suicidal thoughts were something that weren't super uncommon.
Yeah.
I just really, my son was a year and a half, almost two, and he was starting to run around the house and wanting to play. And I just really didn't find myself having the energy or the want to chase him around because, like I said, my joints hurt. I was just not in good mental space at all. And on top of that, I suffer from epilepsy. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, I was having seizures, and that didn't help with, like, the suicidal thoughts at all because I just saw myself as, like, a burden, kind of.
So I mean, this is incredible, and I love how, like, these things unpack. How long had you had epilepsy before you started keto, like, diagnosed?
Fully diagnosed was in high school, about my senior year. But they can, through therapy and talking things out, they think that I've had it since as far back as, like, middle school, where it started with, like, absence seizures, which is kind of like a, you just stare off and are, like, unconscious. You look like you're there, your eyes open, but you don't respond to anything. And I didn't even really blink. A lot of times people would catch me, like, crying because, like, my eyes were just, like, drying out, staying open for minutes at a time.
Wow.
So I probably had it as far back as middle school, but they didn't develop into anything violent until around my senior year of high school. And then they just progressively got worse and worse to where I was having, like, it wasn't uncommon for me to have multiple, like, very violent seizures a day.
Wow. Man, that's crazy. So I guess, again, my question would be, you had epilepsy. You're diagnosed with epilepsy. And your doctors didn't have you eat keto? Did they advise you about keto? Did any of this stuff happen?
Like I said, I had never even heard the word keto until I heard it on Joe Rogan's podcast.
And I can't wrap my mind around this. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. This is such, I'm a rude podcast host. You guys listen, you know this already. But I can't wrap my mind around the fact that Joe Rogan saved your life.
Yeah, man.
I mean, like, technically.
It really did. I would have never probably even found out about it. Well, I'd probably know about it now because there's so many commercials and products in the store. But
Slim Fast Keto.
Yeah, at this time, there was nothing, man. Like, it was really, like, cutting the edge. Like, people had no idea what I was talking about. So it really did save me from just by listening to this podcast. So it was something I really can't take for granted at all.
I mean, I get on here and we record and we have these conversations and I enjoy doing them. And I say this every single time, every time I post an episode and I get a notification that someone listened, it blows my mind. Like, really blows my mind that people listen to me talk. But having said that, man, to think that I could potentially have a conversation with a guest that's listening and they're like, oh, an absence. You mean like when my son stares off, like he could be having an absent seizure and, you know, I need to get him looked at? Maybe. Yeah. Check it out. Think about it. I don't know. Maybe your doctor hasn't put that time in. What year did you graduate high school, if you don't mind me asking?
2011.
Okay, so 2011, we are now in 2020, so 4 years, that would make it 2016. So you're 5 years of violent seizures, and no one within your medical anything told you about keto. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, man. They tried certain medications, and nothing really worked. And I did several brain scans, and they couldn't, like, diagnose any tumor or anything that was causing them. So they kind of just said, yeah, you have this and you'll probably deal with it for the rest of your life. You're going to have to keep an eye on it and take care of yourself. But they
couldn't tell you how to take care of yourself. Just take care of yourself. Yeah. It's like this empty question, or, you know.
Yeah, I went through several rounds of different medications with no results, really. I did self-medication with, like, marijuana for a while, and that helped a bit, but never stopped anything. Man. And it really just, nothing ever worked except for keto. And, like I said, 2 months after I adapted keto into my lifestyle and was eating it, no sugars, no, none of that shit, no more seizures, man.
I mean, I'm listening to you talk, man, and I just keep thinking about how sad our medical community is. Like, I mean, it's really, really, really sad. You guys can't see this. So can you see that?
Yeah.
All right, so it's funny, it's sitting on my desk. I'm in the process of moving, so I'm uncovering all this stuff. And this was from one of the last medical device companies I worked for. And I mean, I was in the medical industry for a while, and it's crazy to me, man. Like, the cycle of drug companies that are paying for education, research, and labs to create the drugs that they then pay the doctors to prescribe at a higher rate, that literally runs the cycle of how we do medicine. And none of it is actually based on nutrition and health. Like, we have literally put MD at the end of doctors' names, and it's so that they can prescribe medicine instead of, like, actual nutritional therapy. And it blows my mind that we have this disconnect, yet it's so right in front of our face. I don't know. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, dude, trust me, it's so frustrating. My son, I haven't taken him to the doctor since he was 6 months old, because
congratulations.
Every doctor that I've ever dealt with just has never really shown me that their education really, like, was worth how much money and time they spent into it. Everything is just, I'm going to prescribe you this and I'm going to prescribe you that. And whenever you say why, or ask what's the cause of the side effects, or half the time the side effects seem way worse than the thing that they're trying to treat. And they're just like, well, you handle everything one step at a time. Well, that doesn't seem like one step at a time. It seems like you take, like, one step forward and, like, fucking, like, 30 steps back.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you say all this, and I think of it. I can't remember. This is funny. For those of you who want to know how diverse what I listen to is, I can't remember if this was from a comedian or a pastor, but he was talking through like how he gets his kid to go to bed. And he's like, you know, I just give my kid options. Like, the people have problems putting their children to sleep because they talk to them and they're, like, having dialogues. And I don't do that. I just give options. It's like, you're going to sleep, but do you want me to read you a story, or would you like me to brush your hair? You know, like, and they can choose one of those things. Do you want your light on? Do you want your light off? Like, they can choose, so they feel empowered. But at the end of the day, like, it's options until you get to the end result, which is them in bed. And I feel like that's what we've turned medicine into. Like, a patient comes in, you ask questions, and you're already from the beginning, like, what drug am I going to give them? And then you just kind of walk them through a funnel, and then you try that drug and see what happens. Like, you're a guinea pig every single time. Like, how is that real?
It's so ridiculous. And the doctors almost never, like, offer you to just, like, offer a suggestion of changing something in your diet, which ultimately fixes almost anything people are dealing with aside from, like, cancer.
Right. Even cancer. So I've had this conversation now with actually greater than a handful of clients who have had cancer. It came to keto and then had cancer scares, and had every one of those scares benign, even with new formations, because of this. So here's the thing with cancer, right? Like, cancer is the only fuel source for cancer is sugar.
Exactly.
So why do we still have cancer research? Like, can you just stop the research and just stop the sugar? Like, can we do that? Can we all come together and just say, if we change this, and cancer couldn't feed itself, we probably would let it die on its own.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's like my buddy Logan Sneed. He dealt with cancer, and they told him that he'd probably get it again, and he hasn't. And my buddy Josh Perry.
Oh yeah, Josh. Shout out to Josh. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, he's dealt with tumors. I believe he still has them in his brain.
They're still in his brain. Yeah.
There's no sugar. They're just there, not doing anything.
And that's where I'm just like, come on, people. Like, I don't want anyone right now that has a family member of them personally that has gone through cancer to think that I'm making light of it. I lost my godmother to cancer. She's actually one of the first people I ever lost in my life and felt loss. So like, I get it. But now that I know what I know, if I were to go someplace and they said, hey, you have cancer, I'd be like, man, that's crazy. I guess I got to cut my sugar back even more. I wouldn't be like, okay, what's the chemo and radiation look like? I'd be like, cool. I must have some sugar in here I don't know about, so I'll cut it out. But that would be it. So shout out to every medical professional. It is up to you to change where we're at. We're talking about change, and I feel like our country right now, the world really, is with COVID and the cultural tension in this world. There's so much change that needs to be made. I don't know how we get to one thing from the other, but we've got to, man. I think it's going to take more conversations like this and like-minded individuals to look outside themselves and kind of look for stuff without that. So you haven't had a seizure since going keto, which is fantastic. How do you live your life, man? What do you eat? What do you like to eat? Like, how did that kind of evolve? Because obviously you're not eating Little Debbie's and McDonald's. Like, what are your keto go-tos? And I know, just, you know, kind of feeling your vibe, that you're not making a bunch of fat bombs either. You're just, you know, eating real foods.
Yeah, no. So I ate keto for like the standard keto, where you're still eating a bunch of like salad and shit, for about like a year and a half or so. And then for the last year and a half, I've been carnivore.
So that's the progression, That's the progression.
It's just I don't like when people like to separate carnivore from keto. I find it to be just like the easiest form of keto. You don't have to track shit. Like, you don't have to worry about carbs when you're not eating
any. Yeah. I'm like, how much is in this salad? It doesn't really matter. I don't care, because it's not a salad. Yeah, you know, it's funny is that I feel like it's the natural progression. I mean, I started keto. I started actually very similar to yourself, intermittent fasting, then keto, then carnivore. And I really don't call carnivore. I just call it keto. It's like keto carnivore, but I don't know. For me, it's just keto. Like, I don't know why we have to have like 9 titles. But with that said, it's been, it's just so much easier that way. It's so much simpler. It's the way everyone, I think, should go. If we could just take our mind out of thinking vegetables do something for us, there's really no purpose. Like, I love vegetables. I've said this a million times, but why am I eating them? Like, they're not doing anything for me. Like, what's the point? That's not very efficient. And I'm all about efficiency. So like,
I'm somebody just like you, loved eating plants. I loved eating big ass salads. I felt like a dinosaur when I would eat them. Just like, But now I feel like the other type of dinosaur. Now I went from like a brontosaurus to now I'm a T-Rex. So,
that is priceless, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to rewind that part back. He ate big salads and felt like a dinosaur. I've never, ever, ever heard anybody reference that. I just thought you were going to say like rabbit or something. That's great.
Yeah, no, big fan of Land Before Time right here, man.
Okay, cool. What was there was a show that used to come on that was similar to Land Before Time. That was a show that it used to come on after like Step by Step and Family Matters. I'm dating myself here, but they like basically were like a modern day family that lived in like historic times. They drove a Jeep or a Range Rover or a Land Rover or something. I'll have to think of that. If any of you listening remembers the show I'm talking about, please shoot me a comment, a message, a DM, an email, something, because this is going to drive me nuts until I figure it out. Okay, so let's move forward. All right, so you're eating meat, predominantly meat. You eat organ meats? Are you doing nose to tail burgers?
Yeah. Me and my son, we do a nose to tail carnivore. We try and get as many organ meats into our regular rotation as possible. just especially when the pandemic first started spreading before we even got into like a shutdown kind of thing.
Yep.
I was like, all right, let's just make sure we're getting all of our vitamins and nutrients like ace. We don't need to just be eating steaks right now. Sometimes we'll take it a little easier, but right now we really just need to make sure we're getting like the liver, the kidney, everything in as much as possible for the time being, just to prevent anything.
Absolutely. Have you had the liverwurst from US Wellness? They have like a sausage.
Oh, US Wellness meats. My son used to eat it like every day. Like that was his lunch every day. It was like half to a whole little like roll of liverwurst, man. He killed it.
Yeah, man. Like that stuff's gold. I don't know where people go wrong in their thought process to adjust or change. But again, it's just, you know, no one wants to take the red pill. They just want to continue going with what they know. So, you know, I'm glad you've progressed. How have you felt that has been for mood? And obviously, I mean, seizure free is still good, but like, what's your mood been like having made that change over the last year and a half?
Oh man, it's fantastic, dude. Like, so when you adapt keto, you instantly notice like your energy levels go up. But then you kind of, once you get used to how that feels, you kind of just like, that's the new normal. So once I went carnivore, then it hit like an overdrive level, or like the next level. Now I'm like amped up, ready to go every day, wake up, start my day, clean the house, let my dogs out, do a workout.
It's such a game changer, man.
Yeah, your mindset is so much better. You're clear. You're not feeling guilty over anything because you're not eating any junk. You're not stressing about, oh, did that snack I had last night, even though it said keto, did it drop my ketones? What's my ketone levels? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? It's just so much easier on your mindset to not have to worry about that. Your mood, your hormones are balanced, especially if you're doing a nose to tail. Your hormones just get right at where they're supposed to be. So then you're not dealing with any of the anxiety or anything that you typically deal with.
Man, like that's the thing, is that people just don't realize that the healing that comes from eating carnivore, aside from the micronutrient density and our ability to absorb them, the healing that comes from the right amount of protein. I can't express to people how much people just eat too little protein, women especially. You know, they, even in the keto community, I can't tell you how many like well-favored, renowned, respected individuals in the keto community still push women to cycle carbs in order to help regulate their cycle. It drives me insane. Every time I hear another podcast or person talk about it, I'm just like, it's not that. It's not that. Oh. Can you just please take that crap out and have them eat more protein?
Yeah, it was nuts. So I'm part of all those Facebook groups and things like that, and all the little clubs from each little doctor. I remember I got into this huge discussion with some lady, and she said that she only eats like 35 grams of protein a day.
What is 35 grams of protein? Bacon?
Yeah, I don't know how she was doing it. I told her that it was impossible for her to be doing that, and if she is doing that, she's going to start breaking down. I was like, that's why your hair's falling out.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible the amount of people that, I mean, take their protein just way too low. It's I don't know. I know that there's people, shout out to my boy Robert Sykes, you know, that talk through reducing protein during their stages of cutting and stuff like that. But like, even for him, man, like he reduces his protein, but there's a threshold that he doesn't go below. And I don't think people recognize where that is. And I also know when he starts his cuts, he starts them really high. Like he'll start his protein numbers even higher. So like, I don't know. I just think people get it confused. And, you know, people that are scared of the whole gluconeogenesis and not understanding that process and the rest of this stuff. I don't think that people put enough weight on protein as a macronutrient. It is the second most important macronutrient next to fat. And if it weren't for the fact that we all carried body fat, I would say it was the first, you know, like it's just the reality of it all.
Yeah, fat, it carries plenty of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients, but your body doesn't use it for anything other than fuel and the vitamins. The protein you have to have to do everything in your body, repair proteins, producing hormones, everything, man.
All of it. So now that you've done that and you've, I mean, you're there, what are your next health goals? And how do you feel raising a four-year-old carnivorously? And how does everybody else take that? Like, what does that look like?
So as far as health goals with me, I was just in a car accident a couple months back.
Oh, and yeah, sorry to hear that.
It's all good. I actually just got back from the surgeon the other day who said that, like, I should probably have surgery, but he also gave me the okay to start working out again.
Yeah, cool. So
I'll probably push the surgery aside and just get back in the gym. But as far as raising my son as a carnivore, it really turned heads for a long time. I got plenty of bad looks from I don't have any family, but his mom has a bunch of family.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
We were all kind of iffy on what it was, very judgy, especially the older ones. And they're not great about it. But you can't deny, like, he doesn't get sick. And if he does, it lasts like 12 hours at the most, whereas the person that he can catch it from, like his grandmother or his mom, will be sick for days.
Man. So his mom has not embraced this carnivorous eating?
Oh, no, not at all. Me and her are separated, and she has never been about adapting keto or carnivore or anything.
Okay. I just, again, I mean, we could talk about the mindset on that all day long, but man, that's cool. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if I did have children, absolutely, I would, man, there'd be no doubt, hesitation, delay. And I mean, I would try to have carnivorous breast milk, man. Like, it would have to be like, there's no way I would feed my child anything other than a nose to tail diet from day one. Or as soon as they could eat it anyway. Okay, so I'm sitting here, I'm kind of going through all these things, and there's so many like things in my mind that I want to cover. But since we're on the pain, or since we're on the path of this accident and recovery and all that kind of stuff, what kind of surgery were they pushing you to have?
Are they just, is it like an endoscopic?
Yeah, disc? Endoscopic. Yep.
Yeah, so they want to, I've got two vertebrae discs like back to back that are herniated.
Okay.
And they're pushing back towards my spinal column, and they wanted to go in and just, I guess, like chisel away at those until like I felt better. But they said that it could be a multiple surgery thing, and that I wasn't really at any risk of nerve damage right now or it getting worse. So I'm pretty sure I'm just going to try and deal with the amount of pain that I deal with and just push through and avoid getting surgery at 26.
I mean, yeah, maybe. And I mean, you never know. The body's an incredible thing. It may heal itself. I always think it's funny whenever I hear like, well, you're not in any immediate blah, blah, blah. And then they say, but, you know, multiple surgeries. And I'm thinking, you're thinking billing. You're thinking multiple billings. Like, this is not how my life rolls. I'm not thinking about how much cash you can charge for XYZ surgery to the insurance company who's going to try to fight you. Whatever. I don't want to go into that cycle either, but we could. And so, yeah, I'm on for you not doing that. Now, you're in Florida, though. Do you use medical marijuana to help with all of this?
No, I stopped using marijuana sometime last year, just because it just, after doing keto for so long, I kind of was still using marijuana as like a crutch, as like helping my mindset, thinking that maybe I still needed like the ketones and weed to not have a seizure.
Okay. So I got you. That makes sense.
I went to D.C. for the Dr. Berg conference, and mm-hmm. So I was up there for like 3 days, and obviously I didn't bring anything with me. So that was like the real test. I put it in and everything was fine. I didn't feel one bit that I needed it. So I came back down to Florida and just stopped altogether because it was basically just a, just something that I was using, like I said, as a crutch. If I did use it, I kind of just wasted a bunch of time.
I could totally see that. I know that some people are thinking, yeah, but what about all the other benefits to marijuana, like improved sleep and recovery and reduced stress and everything else? You know, someone's over here coming out with a gamut of, you know, marijuana and its benefits.
Yeah. All those same benefits you can get out of your nutrition, man.
Fair enough. I think that that's true. That's a true statement.
And like, I want to make it clear, I'm not like shaming anybody who still uses it. I used it for years. My friends still do. Like, it's nothing that I'm against. It was just, I didn't need it. So I didn't feel like I should waste my time on it anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And no, I don't think you, I don't think you sounded like you were shaming anyone. Shout out to all the stoners in the world. Okay, so then my next thing was, I wanted to kind of, you have all these medals behind you, and I just keep looking at them, and I see one says 2014 WGC. Are those jiu-jitsu medals?
Oh, yeah. Those are all jiu-jitsu medals and stuff like that.
All right, take me through them, man, because you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got like 8 medals. I mean, like, how long have you been doing jiu-jitsu, and how good are you? Are we getting to you?
So, yeah, I do. I always prefer to compete inside of the gi.
Okay.
I've been doing it since 2012. And okay. I've been a blue belt for like 7 years. I was a blue belt before my son was born. And then I took a few years off.
Okay.
And then I got back into it. Yeah, then I got back into it a couple of years back, and then I got almost a purple belt, and then just with all the travel I was doing for conferences and training sessions and stuff like that, it took time off of the mat, so I never got my purple belt, and I'm probably going to start getting back on the mat here in like a week or so, as soon as, because the doctor, like I said, he cleared me. Even though I need surgery. He said I need surgery, but I can also get back into the gym. So I'll probably just get back on the mat here in a little while and get back to training because I miss it a lot.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, just up your protein. You'll be all good. All right, so you prefer gi. I mean, what are the medals for? How many competitions have you won? What places? All that good stuff.
I've never won like first place in any competition that wasn't like a small like competition.
Okay.
A lot of times like competitions inside of a jiu-jitsu gym, they call them like in-house tournaments and stuff like that. And I've won a few of those, but as far as like big tournaments, I've done Naga and fucking, what are they all called? There's a Art of Suave, and then there's a competition, there was the Fight to Win series.
Oh, man, and
cool. So I get, I've got, let's see, 5 silvers and 2 bronze.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. I haven't rolled in a really long time. It's been years. I should probably get into it, but I don't know. I just don't have the time anymore, man. It's like different priorities. But it's always fascinating to just kind of work through the balance of the mental and the physical in all of it, you know, like that balance between the two. It's like, I don't know, weighted yoga. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it to people. Like I don't know, just all of it, you know, fighting through technique and thinking through it, but also like blocking out the pain and you know, like trying to think through the next move, like just all of it, you know what I mean? Like the poetry that is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu is something that's nothing like anything else, man. Especially like, I'm so small. When I'm at my fighting weight, I'm like 115, 125 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to roll with you.
Almost everybody is like almost 100 pounds heavier than me.
Yeah, so, I couldn't even imagine that, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's constantly just using your brain, using like what you know about the techniques. So you have to know what they're doing to you and knowing if they're doing it correctly or how much danger you're like actually in. So you're constantly like trying to calm yourself. But then yes, it's your turn to get the tech. You got to ramp it up and go after it.
Yeah, it's like knowledge is power, but it's also paralysis to how much you know. Absolutely. That's oh man. So what do you do now? Like what is your everyday?
So yeah, I've got my home coaching. Like I coach mostly from home. So I do like online, and since the whole corona shit, I haven't done like any in-person coaching, but I used to do that. So I would drive out to meet people at whatever gym they like to train at and help train them, do my keto coaching as well as the personal training.
Okay. How did you get into it? Like what made you say, man, since doctors didn't help me for all this time, maybe I should help other people. How did you come about deciding to get into coaching?
Well, yeah. So like I said, after I got into keto, my learning brain took over, and I just bought like every book that I could ever find that had the word keto in it, really.
Yeah.
And I just dove into all the knowledge and just really spent a lot of time absorbing as much knowledge as I could about everything. And things are still changing constantly, so I'm still having to adapt stuff. But a lot of people don't want to spend the time reading all these books. Some people, they don't know how to like take scientific, just like a scientific paper or the science of something and break it down into like a more legible, understandable way to do it.
Right.
And that's kind of like always succeeded at pretty well, is taking something that seemed complicated and putting it into like more graspable, like ideas.
Absolutely. So just,
and a lot of people were like impressed with like my transformations. So going from 200 pounds to like 125, people really like saw that and wanted kind of like the same thing.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know why I don't ever post, what do they have? Face-to-face transformation. Today's Tuesday, isn't it? Transformation Tuesdays. I've never posted any of those things. I don't know why. I feel like I should maybe. Like, just be like, hey guys, FYI, this was me then, this is me now. I don't know. Today's Tuesday. I think I'm going to do it. I don't know why. Yeah, you know what's so funny is like, as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that is impressive. I mean, like, I can imagine on a 5'5 frame, 200 and 125, like, that's incredible. That's a huge, you know, it's a huge difference. I don't know why. It's, I don't know, mind numbing, but it's cool. So where can people find you for coaching, and how do you set up your programs? Do you offer coaching and training for both like BJJ and keto, or one and the other? Like, how does that work out? What does your coaching situation look like?
Well, yeah. So I'm not qualified, and I'll never tell anybody that I'm qualified enough to teach them jujitsu. I've spent plenty of years doing it, and if you want to sit on the mat and we go through techniques, and I'll maybe be able to sharpen some stuff up for you, but I'm nowhere close to the knowledge that some like an actual pedigreed black belt would have.
Cool, fair enough.
As far as keto,
don't hit up Cody for BJJ training, guys. Just that's what he's saying.
If you want somebody on the mat to train with, then I'm your dude. But I don't want to take the place of anybody's professor. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a heck of a responsibility, especially when it comes. Be like, why did you just get killed on the mat? Oh man, this rookie was teaching me. All right, sorry. Okay, so moving along. Yeah, so the keto aspect.
Yeah, so keto, I do basically the best way to get in contact with me is through my Instagram, GoatFitNutrition. And I've got all my contact information in that little contact button.
Which I love to know. How did we get to GoatFit?
Oh, so that actually comes from jiu-jitsu. I made a choke early on in my blue belt years that people called the chupacabra choke.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And I just always kind of liked the goat idea. So I've used it in a couple different marketing ploys that I've had in the past, and I just stuck with it. My original name on Instagram was Grass-Fed BJJ. But then when I wanted to make it more closer to like a coaching program, then I switched over to GoatFit.
All right. Fair enough. I love that. The full circle. Okay, cool. All right. So they can shoot you contact on your IG. And then how are you doing consultations? Do you just do coaching? Do you do onboarding? Like, how do you have your thing set up?
Yeah. So, my website and stuff is still in the works. I had one up, but it was trash.
Yeah. Websites take a while to build anyway, man. It's a tedious process. I hate personally.
Yeah. It's definitely not fun. So mostly I contact most people through either them sending me an email or they DMing me about an inquiry. And then I kind of just fit them in. I give them the information on the programs. So I kind of have everything set up in like a three-tier basis. Okay. And it really just depends on where you're coming from. If you're already a keto person, then you can basically bypass the first tier and go to the second, and that's where we really like dial shit in nutrition wise whereas like the first tier is really just trying to get people off a standard American diet and onto eating a ketogenic diet.
Okay.
And I also have a tier where it's just for people who want to get as lean and shredded as possible, and that one I try and gear people over to carnivore, as close to carnivore as possible.
Right, for sure. Very cool. So I'm gonna make sure I put your obviously you'll be linked in the show notes and everybody can go to GoatFit on Instagram. What do you love about coaching? Like, what's the biggest thing for you that's like, man, I'm glad that I got into this, I'm glad I do it? Like, what's that for you?
Oh man, it means the world to me, to be honest, dude, because I run into so many clients that are struggling, not just like with physical ailments or not liking the amount of weight that they're carrying around, but a lot of it is mental. So I'm helping a lot of the coaching beyond just telling somebody what to eat or what not to eat, is really just being there almost like a psychiatrist. Just helping them through it, all these mental hurdles and mental battles that they're dealing with, being like a listening ear, someone to offer advice on just like how to get to the next step, or giving them pep talks saying things that they're doing is the right thing.
Yeah, that accountability and encouragement, man, I don't think people recognize just how much that's necessary, you know. Yeah, that in itself is kind of priceless. I mean, everything else dialed in is cool, but, you know, being able to have that other person hold you accountable and hold you and help you and walk through it is huge. So cool, man. Listen, this has been an absolutely awesome conversation, dude. I am so glad we were able to connect. There's so many other questions and things I know that we could dive into, but I also know that people are like, dude, stop talking so much. I've been trying to do better at like reeling my episodes down, but I mean, I'm like, but I want to talk more about like the therapeutic aspect of carnivore and how that's been. We might want to come back. Maybe we'll do another episode and just talk about that. Cause I think there's, and I have, you know, I shouldn't say this because I haven't actually done the research, but I would venture to say there's probably more epileptic people that are keto than there are carnivorous, but I'd be really interested to see how many people are epileptic and carnivore and like, you know, have come through that transition and, you know, what the experiences have been like for them and the change, you know, because obviously I think most people that are epileptic that go keto can say, yeah, you know, I've been, you know, seizure free for this period of time. But I'd like to know, like, what else was benefits from the carnivorous aspect of things and cutting that stuff out and kind of diving into that. I feel like that's a whole episode on its own.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do that. And we on the next one, if we want to talk mostly about carnivore, we could talk about my upcoming cookbook and all that shit.
Oh, man, cookbook's coming. What's your favorite thing to cook? Steak?
No, really, I really try and take everybody's, like, favorite carby-filled food and turn it into a zero-carb version. That's, like, all my right. favorite.
What's the best one? What is your best conversion?
The most successful one that people like the most is either pizza or corn dogs.
Pizza or corn dogs? Yeah. Those things sound... Wow. I'm wrapping my head. The pizza, I feel like that's cool. I know the carnivorous dough with cheese. But... And you probably use panko? Like pork panko?
Yeah, yeah. And I've got a dairy-free version of the crust, too.
Oh, dude. Yeah. When is this cookbook coming out, man?
I'm still working on it right now, but it should... I don't know how long the finalization, once I have everything set in, will be. But within the next, like, 4 or 5 months, I imagine it will be available on Amazon.
Yeah, we should... We'll get it on the books, man. As we get closer to rollout, let's do a carnivore episode and we'll talk the cookbook, because I want to dive into that. Everyone is always like, oh, recipe for this. I just had a guy come over the other day. He was picking up something and he said, yeah, man, I wish I had more recipes. And I was like, dude, I don't have recipes. Like, I have a grill and meat, and I just put the meat on the grill and then I eat it. Like, I've made things and I have recipes on my Instagram and stuff, and people really ask for that stuff. But, like, just, you got to change your mindset, man. Like, just change your mindset. Yeah. If you just feel like you want to cheat and eat something that you shouldn't eat, do that. But change your mindset, because that, like, all the rest of the recipes is just unnecessary. That in itself is another episode, too. You ever need anything from the Keto Matrix family, man, just reach out, shout out, and we will do the best that we absolutely can to help. Thank you, bro. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for working through my technical difficulties to get this thing rolling. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, bro.
You too, man. It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, likewise, man. It was a great talk.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.